Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
Everybody, welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. What's up, everybody? And of course, we got Mr. Maddie Keenroom. Maddie, when the people are listening to this, we are doing this on Tuesday night, but it will be officially one day away from the NFL draft when people download and listen to this episode on Wednesday. Are you excited, man? Like, I got the shakes a little bit just thinking about it. I'm getting jacked.
I'm at the dead stage. You know, we do so much draft coverage throughout the off season that like a week and a half ago, I was like shaking with anticipation. Now I've just so blue balled out. I just need to be drained. I need it to happen, but I'm very excited. I mean, by the time this is airing, this is officially NFL Draft Festivus, right? That's the term, the day before Christmas Eve, Festivus.
Festivus.
This is NFL Festivus.
Oh, it feels good at people getting their last watches in of draft day. Kevin Costner classic. Should have won an Oscar, you know, or six. That's how good it was. I don't know if you saw that too, Maddie. Speaking of the Oscars, I kind of shit on our boy Fizz and all Cowboys fans out there with somebody put a tweet out there that Zootopia 2 has a better chance to win Best Picture than the Cowboys 2 to win the Super Bowl.
I saw that, but whatever act of God shed that light on the person to come across that and think about it, put two together, is so funny because everyone knows Zootopia 2 has literally 0% chance to
come
win
on,
that
man.
Picture.
It's a classic, right off
Zootopia
the rip.
1 was a banger, and it didn't get any fanfare of that nature other than kids.
Could be like, you know, Die Hard 2, just slightly better than the original. Is that a hot take?
I mean, listen, Zootopia 2 could be Dune 2 when it wouldn't win Best Picture of the Year.
Or, you know, Creed 2, a little bit better than the original.
Creed 2
sometimes the sequels. Sometimes the sequels are better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't wait for Draft Day 2.
Hey, and the most famous one, man. Dark Knight, clearly the best out of the trilogy, right? That's
with
not
a
hot
bullet.
Takey.
Yeah, with okay. a bullet. That's not even a hot takey, yeah.
R.I.P. Heath Ledger. Forever.
Forever.
Best Joker ever to do it. Period.
Oh, yeah.
Way better than... Who the hell did they try to do that reboot with the
Jared
Joker?
Jared Leto. You can't be Jared Leto. Hot Joker, Leto. Hot Joker is such a ridiculous... Hot Joker was actually the biggest joke of that entire thing. I mean, everything about him was crazy.
Disgusting. Terrible. There's our movie talk for the first 3 minutes. Love it. Maddie, what we're doing, annual tradition... 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast draft predictions. We'll kind of be all over the map, but we'll keep a little sanity to it. We're going to start with this one, and one I've screwed up for every year from here since ever. I've never got this right, so we're going to let you start, and I'll ask the question, and I'll fill in. Maddie, how many quarterbacks get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night? And by the way, if you want to check that out, you want to see Maddie and myself's beautiful mugs, live and in person. You can check that out starting at 7:30 Eastern. Our South Harmon draft coverage will start on the YouTube page. South Harmon Dynasty channel, go check that out. The main channel. And we will be joined by Fizz. We will be joined by Koopa and Eric. And of course, this year, unlike last year, we could say it, night one, Adam will be in the building. Right? Adam will be with us, so we'll have the full squad. We're just missing T-Rock, but unfortunately the man is traveling the world, Literally. Yeah. He is out of the country. Out of the country, and I don't think it involves Canada or Mexico. So it truly is international travel. No offense to anybody in Canada or Mexico. We just kind of view you as part of America at some point. Different
United
degrees.
United States North, United States South.
Yeah, basically. But, Maddie, how many quarterbacks drafted in the first round on Thursday night when we're sitting there? Are we going to be shocked? Are we going to go chalk? What do you think?
I believe we still see three quarterbacks selected. I think we get the big three. Cam Ward, chalk it up, 101. Shador, and I think Jackson Dart does go in round one. You know, teams just get a little antsy once they start seeing numbers, you know, names come off the board. Giants, Browns, not taking quarterbacks supposedly with the second and third overall pick. So they're going to be hot and heavy looking to take him at 33 and 34. So do the Saints move up for Dart? They're supposedly very interested in a guy like Dart. The Jets, there's a lot of fans of Jackson Dart in that building. Could they move up into round one and get that fifth-year option to kind of allow for Fields to maybe play out this year and then Dart come in next year? I don't know. But I think that the QB position is better than the consensus really echoes, and I think teams are so desperate that we'll get three quarterbacks in round one.
I can get behind that. I can get behind that. I like that. That's kind of feels like the chalky number. So, of course, in my traditional fashion every year, I'm going to say four quarterbacks going round one.
I mean, listen, if the run happens early enough, you will get a team excited about Milroe to jump into round one.
The only one I'm going to definitely get right out of here, Cam Ward's going 101 to the Titans. Let's go. Nailed it.
Yeah, I got that one right.
Here's a spicy take. New York Giants draft Shador Sanders. I know the buzz has faded. I'm looking at NFL Nation's mock draft on ESPN where they talk to all the beat reporters and they have them taking Abdul Carter at 3 and they say they're not in love with Shador Sanders. Listen, I think Joe Shane's ass is on the hot seat and he needs a quarterback. He needs a quarterback. And listen, it's either I draft a quarterback and I get a little bit of grace as we go through a little bit of rookie struggles, or I don't draft a quarterback. I roll out some trash cans and I let Russ try to cook, I guess, allegedly, maybe, whatever. I let Jameis do whatever he's going to do. And I get no grace period whatsoever. And the next guy can enjoy Abdul Carter. Right? This is what's going to happen. I think so. I think the Giants will end up taking Shador Sanders. May not be at 3. I think it might be at 3. I don't know. I'm like wishy-washy on this. I think they also would really love to trade back. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But I can also see them moving back up to, boom, we're going to take Shador Sanders at some point. If he falls far enough, do what we got to do. Try to secure a franchise. Russ goes in as the starter. No pressure on Shador, but at some point we will see Shador Sanders, and then people will give Joe Shane a pass. I also think that the New Orleans Saints end up taking Jackson Dart in the first round with their pick somewhere around there. And we tried to do this before. We didn't know if it was going to happen years back in another subpar quarterback class. But Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin finally take the quarterback in the first round that we all thought that they might actually take at the beginning of the process. We were wrong on the Malik Willis thing. It ended up being Kenny Pickett, which was disgusting. But now I'm saying Jalen Milroe goes in the first round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Book it. Lock it in. I'm ready for everyone to make fun of me come Friday. Mike, you fucked this up so bad again. We only had two quarterbacks in the first round. You're an idiot. Jalen Milroe fell to the third. No one likes him. But, hey, that's where I'm going. I'm trying to speak it into existence, Maddie. Four quarterbacks, and I even gave you the landing spots. God damn it. I'm going all out.
I love it. I love it. And I don't think it's – I think that is the sequence that would have to happen for us to have four quarterbacks go off the board. Because I think even if it's not the Steelers, the lore and the rumors that it would be the Steelers going after Milroe could cause the Browns to move up ahead. There are a few teams right before the Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers that come to mind. They are the perfect team to trade back, teams that, you know, I think would be willing to trade back, let the 33rd pick come up there, take their double dip. But I'm also wondering, like, I got to ask you this question. It has not to do with the prediction, but your mind as a team builder. If you're the Browns, and you get yourself a little Travis Hunter at two, don't you get a little antsy to move back up to get Shador?
I do.
If Shador gets past nine, if he's there at 10, aren't you immediately starting to sweat being like, let's get the Boulder boys?
Let's do it. Let's move up. Let's put the pairing back together. Let's put the pairing back together in Cleveland and try to resurrect this franchise. They swung and they missed so many times on quarterbacks, so many times. And it is a laundry list of who's who of just absolute terrible busts. I do think they have enough around that team where if they can find the right one, right? And it doesn't have to be flashy Cam Ward. Like, it'd be the total Browns thing to be the ones who, like, think they're going to fix all the issues Jalen Milroe has. Like, is that the most Browns pick ever? It's like, damn it. You know, we heard the Tyler Shuck stuff from terrible Mary Kay Abbott or whatever the hell that was, whatever dog shit she was spewing. It was disgustingly bad, but not that, right? Don't do a typical Browns thing. Shador is a pro-ready NFL quarterback. Now, does he have issues? Yeah, I don't think his arm is the strongest. Mm-hmm. I know D-Bro, Derek Brown of Fantasy Pros will fight me on this one. But listen, when I put on the tape, I'm like, that is the slowest slant route I've ever seen thrown by a quarterback. It's accurate. It's where it needs to be. And it gets there. And he's accurate as hell. I don't know if it's the strongest. I had never really seen him rip it. And he also think he's Michael Vick sometimes out there in the pocket. I love his pocket mobility, but just get rid of the ball, man. Stop the Caleb Williams shit. So there's some things to fix with him. But I think as a whole, if you want to talk about most like plug-and-play ready quarterbacks, it's definitely Shador. All hate aside, all hate about Deion and retiring his number and all the bullshit aside, Shador's a good NFL quarterback. He may not be good for fantasy purposes or great for fantasy purposes like we all want, but he's going to be solid. If you end up with Travis Hunter at two, I'm with you, Maddie. Like, Shador falls far enough. Let's put the band back together. You know what I mean? Let's try to do it. We got a pro ready guy. Stefanski can coach him up. He's got his safety blanket, his binky.
His Boulder binky.
Yeah. He can do what he wants. All right. Then I think he'll be fine. And I think that defense is still good enough with Myles Garrett there to also take some pressure off of it. Mm-hmm. They will devise and scheme up a running game that will complement him, and I think their offensive line is a very fixable piece. So it's not even though it says the Browns, it's not the worst landing spot imaginable. No. It can work, and I do agree with you. If he falls, come on, Cleveland, come on. For once in your life,
Do the draft day thing.
Get Kevin Costner. Right.
Get Kevin Costner. Do the thing.
Don't we got a new GM in Jacksonville? Picking a what in draft day, what was it? Six? Pick six, and now they're picking five. Yeah, they got a brand new rookie GM in Jacksonville. Trade your next 3 second round picks.
So they're gonna have to move up to one, move out of one, move back into six to then get the two players they wanted, right? That's the way they do it.
I think they could do it.
They can make it happen. They can make this happen. We could draft day. And Shador's not dumb, he's very savvy in the matters of the NFL and development, I would assume, given his, you know, lineage. Kevin Stefanski, brother, is the match for him. That is the coach that could get a ton out of him. That is a quarterback pocket passing whisperer. Perfect for Shador.
Let's do it, man. I got one more quarterback question before we move on, Maddie. Your prediction on this one. Mm-hmm. Is there any quarterback in any landing spot outside the first round of the big four? So no Jalen Milroe, Cam Ward, Shador Sanders. Let's just assume we live in a world where they all are pretty damn relevant. I'm talking the Wild Howards, the Quinn Ewers, the Tyler Sucks. I mean, Shucks. I'm talking those kind of guys. Is there any quarterback that you would be interested in fantasy in, let's say, the second round of your rookie draft somewhere? Maybe it's a late second, maybe it's a mid second. Is there a spot and a draft capital and a landing spot where you go, okay, now this makes sense and I want to pay attention and I want this guy on my dynasty teams?
No. No.
That was pretty quick.
No. I mean, Will Howard to the Raiders, I understand the allure, but what is his ceiling? It's a decent stretch. It's not like Bo Nix. It's not anything that could get you there. I'm not wasting even a second round pick, even if they get draft capital. When you look at the second round, I don't see where they're going to go. The Raiders will not use the 37th overall pick on Will Howard. So that pushes them to third.
Right.
Now, at that point, I don't give a rat's ass. And Chuck, I always thought it was the biggest fugaz that people were just had such a bone for the guy. Cool story. Love the mental space he was in. Love how he approached this draft offseason. But, I mean, come on. We gave a 25-year-old credit for killing a job interview against 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Not 19, but you know what I mean. Younger guys. Like, of course he killed it.
He'd been around forever, man. Been around forever. I will say this. I'm not going to rule him out, right? I don't want to fall into the I hate him as much as I hated Bo Nix at this time last year. But I also adapted to Bo Nix. But first-round draft capital meant a lot more than second-round draft capital.
Yes.
You can go look at the data on that one. You can go look at the data on it. But I will say, if we get something in the top 40, like the early picks, let's just say the first 10 picks of day two, and it's to a landing spot like the Raiders, it's a landing spot like the Saints, the Browns, the Giants, somewhere in there. As much as I hate those guys, they're going to have a fantasy opportunity ahead of them. Now, whether they can actually capitalize on it and do something for fantasy and hold on to a job, they're going to get a shot. It's when you get to the back end of round two that I stop caring, right? I think back, I know Kellen Mond was a first or second pick of the third round. And we really tried to hype him up because of his mobility, and he never got a shot at all. You get outside that second round, especially the back half of the second round onwards, your shot ain't guaranteed. Your shot ain't guaranteed at all. I will say, though, if you get a top half, right, I've seen most of those guys that get taken there have an opportunity. Now, some of them can do stuff. Some of them end up like Will Levis, but even a guy like Will Levis held dynasty value for a couple years before we finally just said, fuck it, we're done with this. Like, it's not going to happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, and now it looks like their team's moving on, too. They don't think it's going to happen. So
yeah.
I'd be interested, as much as I don't really like Quinn Ewers' game, or I'm not the biggest Will Howard fan, or as much as I talk shit about Tyler Shuck, if that were to happen, or Kyle McCord, you know, you could throw him in there. I highly doubt it, but, hey, we've seen wild shit happen. Top 40, kind of as my universal cutoff. All right. You know, Mike, as the QB whore guy, I'll probably end up taking you in my rookie drafts somewhere in the back end of the second round.
Well, I mean, so in this particular scenario, you're talking about Shuck going 33rd, 34th. That means your scenario played out, right? That's what we're going with. Yeah. Giants, Browns, they don't get quarterbacks. Raiders don't get quarterbacks. And they take one early round two. I mean, at that point, yeah, I guess you'd have to consider him in round two because Milroe getting round one draft capital. We talked about this last week, seventh overall conversation, right, in rookie drafts. I mean, he shoots up. Jackson Dart shoots up. So now we're going to have four quarterbacks probably in the top 10, 11 picks in rookie drafts. You're going to have to take him in the second. But this is why you like to do a few drafts before the NFL draft. Because I actually just got Tyler Shuck in like late fourth in our shit worldwide. So, you know, that's where I'm taking him. I'll take shit shots on Shuck. Wow, I don't think I could say that again. In the fourth.
So here's my final bold take I have on the quarterback position, Maddie. We talked a little bit about it last week. And then I ruminated. I love that word. Ruminated on it a little bit longer. Hypothetically. Thursday night's draft stream, Jalen Milroe, locked in, first-round selection, and I don't really care where, right? He's a locked-in first-round quarterback. At that point, we have the draft capital. Maddie, I'm telling you, 107 will be too late to take Jalen Milroe in rookie drafts you're in with me. Jalen Milroe already would vault himself up. I'm thinking ahead to tier one quarterback, to tier one fantasy dynasty asset, strictly because of his running ability. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to be able to realize production on the field, because he does have a lot of issues to clean up with the accuracy department and being more consistent as a quarterback, but that rushing upside is so damn tantalizing. And in a generally down class, you know, the 101 in everyone's mind right now is a running back, Maddie. Think about that. In the dynasty game we play, is a running back, and not a running back that's super, super generational, like a Saquon Barkley or a Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good running back in Ashton Jeanty, but that's everybody's consensus 101. Cam Ward's got a lot of warts on his game. Travis Hunter has the whole, is he a better corner? Is he a better wide receiver? How much is he going to play on each side? Jalen Milroe with locked-in first-round draft capital. Tier 1 rookie asset, and I will stand on business for that. Now, I probably won't even get that. I probably won't get Jalen Milroe in the first round, so this whole thing's mute. But I'm saying if it does happen, you heard it here first, I will draft him confidently in the top four of my rookie drafts moving forward. No question about it. And I might do crazy things like take him 101. I might switch Cam Ward and Jalen Milroe just because of that rushing upside. For fantasy football, that makes it the world of difference. World of difference.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know I'm with you with Jalen. I think Milroe has that type of ceiling. And if he goes to Pittsburgh, we may not have to wait on his development. He may be a first half of the season starter with Mason Rudolph only standing in his way. Because at that point, do you bring in a dipshit like Rodgers when you have a round one quarterback? I don't
know.
I don't know if you do. But I want to piggyback on that because one of my takes, one of my bold predictions is a little marriage between fantasy and NFL draft, and it is Jalen Milroe will be a lock top 10 pick in rookie drafts after the NFL draft has concluded.
Let's
go. It
will
be a lock top 10 pick because I ruminated as well after our last interaction.
A lot of ruminating.
A lot of ruminating between the boys. Ruminating whites. Now we're no longer the exciting whites. We're the ruminating whites. The thoughtful whites. But I'm looking at it, and I would need someone to explain to me, like I'm five, how he's a not top 50 draft selection. And that's all I need to take Jalen Milroe in the top 10. That's all I need. Because you look at that early second round, and let's just say the Browns and the Giants, the Jets, the Saints, the Raiders do not go quarterback, which seems chalk as we stand here right now in Festivus. You're going to tell me 33, 34, 37. You're going to tell me 42. You're going to tell me those teams are just not going to take a quarterback? I would have to say you're lying. They're going to take Milroe, considering the invite to Green Bay, the accepted invite to Green Bay. He didn't back out. Jackson Dart has decided not to attend. Mm-hmm. Jalen Milroe's still attending, so which means he's like, damn it, I got a shot. I don't care if I wait in the back. I ain't falling if I don't go. It's not like I fell.
But maybe he just really wants a free trip to Green Bay, you know, real destination city.
Yeah, because like, you know, it's Miami, it's LA, and it's Green Bay. Those are the exciting cities for a 21-year-old kid.
What's nuts, just speaking about it, the NFL draft, obviously in Green Bay this weekend. Next weekend, following weekend, Maddie, I will be up in that area, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's basically Canada. So I'll be up in the Canadian area, salmon fishing on the lake.
Yeah,
a little salmon fishing trip following weekend. So maybe Jalen wants to hang around, you know, go do your rookie stuff when you get taken in the first round, introductory press conference. And Jalen, come on back. You know, come on back. I'll pick you up. We'll go hang out, and we'll take you salmon fishing, you know.
I like that. Get to really
experience all that Diet Canada has to offer.
Diet. I love it.
Same great Canadian taste, half the calories. All right, Maddie, let's move on to the running back position. Big popular bet out there. I've seen a lot of over-unders on this. Over-under, 2.5 running backs taken in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night. What do you got?
I'm taking the over. So we haven't seen more than two running backs selected in round one since 2008, when we saw Darren McFadden, Jonathan Stewart, Felix Jones, Rashad Mendenhall, and CJ2K. Five running backs went off the board in 2008. We haven't seen that many running backs go in round one since. So it's been almost 20 years. Even in the 2017 mega season, we only saw two. It was just McCaffrey. It was just Lenny Fournette, Dalvin, Mixon, Kamara, Hunt. They all came after round one. I think we see three. I think Jeanty, Henderson, and Hampton all go night one, round one of the NFL draft this year.
Damn, Maddie putting it on there. Maddie, I'm going to go opposite with you. I go under. And I go under as far as I think there might only be one. I love Amari and Hampton. I do. looking at some of these spots, like, man, just with how deep this running back class is, it seems like NFL teams are definitely in love with Ashton Jeanty. His odds to go number five now are soaring through the roof. I'm gonna go under. Confidently under on 2.5. I say at most we only get two. We only get Jeanty and Hampton. I have questions whether we even get Hampton in round one. I think a lot of NFL teams and a lot of NFL GMs will go, if we really want to go with the running back position, we're very comfortable with a Caleb Johnson, a Quinshon Judkins round two. We're extremely comfortable then going even farther down to maybe a Cam Scadabo in round three. We could also put in Bashaul Tuten, Damian Martinez. A lot of these guys have extreme amounts of talents. And with how deep this running back class is, you got Ollie Gordons and Rocket Sanders of the world possibly being around in round four or five. I think a lot of NFL GMs are going to smarten up, right? Maybe the rookie Jags GM is the only one who goes, you know what's going to save our franchise? Running back, Jeanty. And if it's not them, it looks like the Raiders are willing to be stupid enough to take a running back in the top 10. I'm going under, Maddie. We'll see who's right on this one. Listen, for fantasy purposes, you hope all the running backs go in the first round, right? You want as many skill guys to go in the first round of the NFL draft as possible. Not only does it help your historical odds of hit rates, etc., it brings excitement. Brings excitement to the rookie drafts and what's otherwise kind of known as a down class. So, listen, the fantasy part of me, the dynasty guy, wants to see them all. The logical part of me goes, maybe the NFL's smartening up just a little bit. Maybe they recognize it's a pretty deep running back class. Or maybe we're the assholes. Maybe we're the ones looking at it going extremely deep running back class, and in reality, the NFL doesn't think that. But I'm going under, Maddie.
You're wrong, but it's okay. I love you anyway. I love you.
That's fair. Bookmark this. 25 here's, minutes in, Maddie said I'm wrong.
here's why I think you're wrong. And it's you know, this is a visual medium. We're on a podcast, so you guys can't see. But if you were to see, you would notice that Mike has. What kind of hat do you have on, Mike? Is that a...
Well, the greatest GM in the history of GMs, Mr. Howie Roseman.
That's an Eagles hat. And the reason why I bring them up is the NFL is the biggest copycat league on planet Earth. There are going to be moron GMs and moron team builders that go, Saquon was the difference of the Eagles team, because he literally was a massive difference maker. And I believe that that will be the copycat. That'll be the notion. That is the strength of the league. We are, to your credit, what you're bringing up is absolutely true. We've heard a lot of rumors that, you know, maybe running back 5, 6 even fall because of the depth. But it seems like more and more as we get closer to the draft, the drumbeat for Travion sneaking into round one gets louder and louder. And with these landing spots post pick 5 or 6, because, I mean, you think about it. You really look at it. And I know smart GMing, if you and I are running the team, we don't even think about this. We would take the Ollie Gordon in the 4th. We would rather have the DJ Giddens in the 6th, 5th, whatever. We would much rather build that way. I know that's probably the smart way. But with a guy like Jeanty off the board at 5, that leaves the Raiders, that leaves the Saints, that leaves the Bears, all top 10 picks who have done a lot of homework on running backs. That brings the Cowboys. Then you go over to the Denver Broncos, who have been basically telling us they're taking a first-round running back all the way back to the combine when Sean Payton said, we're going to get aggressive. We're really going to target running back and tight end. They got Evan Ingram, seemingly helps them kind of focus on running back. He said it again. We're taking a running back early in this draft. So I feel like you could lock them in. Steelers feel like they could take one. Chargers feel like they could take one. And my sleeper pick for round one to take a running back, the Washington Commanders down there at the bottom. Mm. And Omarion Hampton falls to them. It's going to be tough. They have done their homework on Mr. Hampton. I mean, it could be tough for these teams to pass up because, objectively speaking, these NFL evaluators are giving high grades to these top 5 running backs. They're high on their board. Now, what comes into play, what you and I don't know, is if they are willing to kick the can down the road and take a lesser prospect at running back, because you can kind of plug and play at that position. So I feel confident that it's 3, but I will also say that I'd probably get the juice on it for a good reason, because we haven't seen it since 2008.
For whatever it's worth, the ESPN beat reporters mock that they did just dropped only has one running back in round one.
Just Jeanty.
Just Chinty. That's it. No other running back even sniffs the first round. So, for what it's worth, that's where they're at. Maddie, let me ask you this. On the wide receivers, now both you and I think, are in agreement on Mr. Travis Hunter. So, I can't ask who the first wide receiver off the board is, because wide receivers not named Travis Hunter, who also play cornerback. Who's the first wide receiver off the board?
I think it's Matthew Golden. I believe it's Matthew Golden, because I just feel it in my loins. Cowboys are taking Golden at 12. And I think that's our next receiver off the board. Now, there has been a late little hum, a little drumbeat here surrounding Tet McMillan, fifth overall to the Jaguars. Am I going to take it off the picture? No, I won't. Matter of fact, in my last mock that I'll be dropping Thursday morning, you can get it at southharmonyff.com. Maybe I have fallen for the breadcrumbs of, and I'm going to mock that because it's getting loud from credible sources. But I think that's a little bit crazy. You and I feel pretty lockstep on Tet. So that being said, I think Matthew Golden to the Cowboys is the first quarter receiver off the board, not named Travis.
Yeah, man, I'm going to go with Tet, still the first wide receiver, not named Travis off the board. But I do see the drumbeat for Golden. I see the appeal for people who do like Golden. I'm confused as to it just a little bit. Like, I don't really see it. But, hey, listen, in a kind of a down wide receiver class, it's going to happen. Now, the one thing I do have to say about the wide receiver position is just it's there. We talk about the quarterback need. Listen to all the teams and where they pick who could use a wide receiver, who could use wide receiver help. It's absolutely insane to think, too, especially when we come from the world of dynasty and we got guys ranked in the 40s and 50s where you're like, damn, that's a damn good wide receiver player.
Yeah,
they just don't so happen to play for these teams, and it's so frustrating. Tennessee, picking 101, needs a wide receiver. Cleveland Browns need a wide receiver. Giants need a wide receiver. Patriots definitely need a wide receiver. Jacksonville Jaguars need a running mate to go with superstar rookie Brian Thomas. The Raiders need a wide receiver. The New York Jets need another wide receiver. The Carolina Panthers are still looking for an alpha wide receiver. The New Orleans Saints have an alpha wide receiver that has major, major issues with concussions and health, but they could always use a number two wide receiver to go along with them. The Bears, I think the Bears are good. We finally got one. The Bears are good. Yeah. I'll say the 49ers are probably good. Even though they traded away Debo, Juwan Jennings came on last year, Brandon Ayuk coming off the injury, and Ricky Pearsall emerged in his last couple of games there. Dallas Cowboys, to your point, Maddie, need a wide receiver, number two, to pair with CeeDee Lamb. The Miami Dolphins, I think, are good. The Indianapolis Colts probably think that they're pretty decent and probably want to add one later in the draft just to help out. The Atlanta Falcons could need a wide receiver. I don't know how much they trust Darnell Mooney, who was great for him last year. They got Drake London for sure. And they got a lot of juice out of Ray McLeod that we didn't expect. So we'll see what they do. Possibility for them. The Arizona Cardinals, I bet, think are in a good position. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals are in a good position. Seattle Seahawks. We've seen wide receivers mock to them, even after the Cooper Kupp signing. So there's a possibility there. Tampa Bay is probably in a good spot. The Denver Broncos need a wide receiver. The Pittsburgh Steelers. George Pickens has kind of been floating around the trade block. And if George Pickens gets moved, man, they're going to need a wide receiver. The Los Angeles Chargers need a wide receiver. The Green Bay Packers need a wide receiver. Minnesota's good. Houston needs a wide receiver. The Rams, even though they signed Davante Adams, they've also been rumored to be highly interested in the wide receiver market, even in the first round. Baltimore, I think they're probably good. Detroit Lions, for right now, look good. Washington Commanders need a wide receiver. The Buffalo Bills need a wide receiver. The Kansas City Chiefs are fine, and the Philadelphia Eagles are fine. Maddie, that is damn near 80% of the first fucking round is looking at wide receiver at some point, and this isn't the deepest wide receiver class. Now, there's some guys farther down like Kyle Williams and Jack Besh and some of these other Jalen Royals. We can throw them in. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. There's some guys down there that we kind of like, and maybe the NFL team does fall in love with them and think they're the answer. But just as a whole, the superstar talent doesn't seem to be very present. Let's just put that out there. So that brings me to my point, Maddie. You got Golden, first wide receiver off the board. I'm going to say Tet. Here's the real question. Outside of Travis Hunter, how many wide receivers go in round one?
It's going to sound crazy to say after all the teams you listed, but I still think there's only two wide receivers that come off the board post-Travis Hunter. I think it's Tet and Golden. That's it. Now, Ekbuka is borderline for me. I could absolutely see him going in the end part of round one. I think Burden has officially fallen out of round one. Not if I was drafting, but I just from what I've heard and kind of the intel I've gathered, it seems like he is a day two pick early in day two. So looking at it, you know, I've kind of looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it again. And I have two wide receivers post Travis Hunter coming off the board. That's it.
Oh, Maddie, I'm going to go high again. Post Travis Hunter, outside of Travis Hunter, I'm going to say four wide receivers go in the first round. I think Tet, I think Matthew Golden, because people are lured by his speed. I'm going to say Luther Burden. This is my hot take, my bold stamp for this episode. Luther Burden is a lock for the first round. As much bullshit is floating out there. No offense to Hayden Winks, but I saw his little tweets or a little chirp about Luther Burden in Missouri sending route running film to NFL teams upon request. And Hayden's out there chirping about probably not a good sign right before the NFL draft to have to send option route tapes to NFL teams. I did bookmark that. I don't think that means shit, in my opinion. I really don't. I think teams are just doing their final due diligence, and one of those things got leaked. Luther Burden locked to the first round, and I'll give you one or two landing spots, Maddie. I'm going to go 50-50 on this one. Denver Broncos or Los Angeles Rams will select Luther Burden in the first round on Thursday night. And I would be over the moon with either one of those landing spots. I would be absolutely enthralled if we could get one of those landing spots. And then, finally, the last one. I think Emeka Buka is just so damn solid. Some team is going to really want that slot guy, that solid number two option. And I think some team's going to fall in love with him and take him in the first round. And I have a hard time envisioning a world where he slips past C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. I have a very hard time seeing that one happen. But who knows? Who knows what they want to do? At the end of the day, I've been wrong every goddamn year that I've done this, man. But I'm going
for it. Well, it seems like at least we're covering both bases here. We're hedging our bets. Since I'm taking one end, I'm taking the running backs, you're taking the receivers. We both can't be wrong, can we?
We've done that before, too. Adam and I have shit-canned both sides of this before. Maddie, those are wide receivers. Let's move on to tight ends. Another popular over-under that actually has popped up. Two tight ends, so 2.5 tight ends or more. Over-under, 2.5 tight ends. First round, NFL draft, Thursday night. What do you got?
I got under. I got a safe under. The Howie Roseman stuff sounds intriguing. Mason Taylor at 32 just seems so rich with the defensive linemen and offensive linemen that will be available at 32. I think it seems crazy to go with a guy like Taylor. So I'm going to go two safely, but this is what I'll add to this. Since 1990, Mike, since 1990, the year of our Lord, 1990, only twice have we seen two tight ends go in the top 20 picks. 1992. And then 2019, your boys, the Iowa boys, Noah Fant, E.J. Hawkinson, both went inside the top 20. I think that streak gets, I mean, that span gets one more this year. I do think we see two tight ends go earlier than we ever have. We've heard a lot of rumblings that the Jets could be in on Warren at 7, which would obviously trigger the big favorite for tight end, the Colts, taking Loveland. Even if they do not take Warren there at 7, and let's say he falls all the way to 14, I still think the Bengals, the Seahawks, and then the Denver Broncos there at 20 could be captivated by the talent that is Colton Loveland. You know, a guy who has been damn near consensus top 12 overall prospect in this entire class amongst some of the most prestigious and accurate talent evaluators in the space, not just the fantasy space. I'm talking about the true NFL space. So I think we see two, but they're going to be early. They're going to be off the board early in the top 20.
I definitely want to disagree with you from a logic standpoint, Maddie, but I'm with you. I think there will be two tight ends. I will take the under of 2.5. Man, I'd be so pissed if the Eagles end up taking Mason Taylor. the first round. Yeah. Like, please, God, don't do that to me. Listen, I like him, and I've heard the rumblings that Mason Taylor may get late first round consideration, right? So when I'm selecting him in these pre-NFL rookie drafts in the third round or the fourth round like I just did, I feel over the moon. Like, fuck yeah. Like, there's a possibility. Just not my Eagles. Please, God, don't make that, don't make that happen. I'm going under two tight ends, and I do agree with you, Maddie. I do think both these guys are going to be gone before pick 20. Or right around that range at the very worst. At the very worst. They're going to be top 22 selections, both of them. My only caveat is, whatever NFL team that you're a fan of that selects Tyler Warren in the first round of the NFL draft, I'm putting out my apologies already. I don't think he's a first round selection. I just don't. I can't get on board with a guy that needs that much development at the tight end position. That can't do the basics. I mean, I've been on this platform shitting on Tyler Warren left and right. I don't hate him as a person. Listen, he's got parts of his game that really excite me and intrigue me as a tight end guy. But there's massive parts to his game that I'm going, why would you take this guy at pick 7, Jets? Jesus, this most Jets. I hope it's the fucking Jets. After you say that, Maddie, I hope it's the fucking Jets. It's the most Jets thing ever. Like, yeah. My apologies, Justin Fields. I finally wanted to see you, like, have an opportunity, and here's what the Jets do at 7 is take a glorified left tackle that you can sometimes throw bubble screens to and manufacture plays for. That's awesome. Ooh, that's going to be sweet. It's gonna be, he's going to be great. I guess technically he's going to be great, you know, at just getting in the way of defenders while Justin Fields runs 80 yards down the field for a touchdown. So for fantasy purposes, might not be that bad for Justin Fields. He got an extra blocker out there. It's going to be good. We're running jumbo sets all day long. But
oh, yeah.
If I'm an NFL team, man, Colson Loveland's definitely worthy of a first-round pick, and I think Colson Loveland has the talent level to definitely be worthy of a top-10 selection. Is that the play in today's NFL with positional value? Maybe, maybe not, but kind of a down class, not a lot of superstars left and right. You can definitely see this draft class where it would happen. So, but Colson Loveland would be my pick, and the bold take on this one, Maddie, Colson Loveland, tight end 1. In your rookie drafts, should be no question about it. If he goes in the first round, Tyler Warren goes in the first round, I don't care what the difference between the capital is. Colson Loveland, tight end 1 in this class. And we look back in 2-3 years, especially after these guys develop and you see their NFL careers, people will come to me and they'll say, Mike, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. I wish I would have paid attention, especially when you first touted Sam Laporta way back when and nobody wanted to listen to you about Sammy Ballgame, and then we saw what he did. You're going to have the same opinion about Colson Loveland, Maddie. They're going to have the same opinion. Travis Kelce reincarnated, and as soon as he learns that nuance of Travis Kelce getting open in zones and just finding the right spot and always being a quarterback's best friend, holy shit, look out Colson Loveland, because he can do everything. And I think he's a better blocker than Travis Kelce ever has been in his career. So he's a complete package.
And you want to really get rock hard. Think of this. There's a scenario where if Loveland does fall past 20, you know what would be so cool? If the Rams took Colson Loveland at 26.
There you go.
Or made a play for Loveland. So I want to ask you this. So we're talking tight ends. And as I said, I'm putting the finishing touches. I'm crossing the T, dotting the I's of my fifth and final mock draft that you're going to be able to get at South Harbin FF Gatcam. Let's say these three tight ends fall in such a way. Tyler Warren comes off the board 14 to the Colts. Colson Loveland comes off the board 26 to the Rams. Mason Taylor comes off the board at pick 42 to the Jets. How do you rank those three in fantasy?
Maddie. This is me being contrarian. But number 1, Colson Loveland.
With a bullet.
First round draft capital. Great landing spot. And I will forego the round 1 tight end and Tyler Warren to go ahead and select Mason Taylor ahead of him. If I got the choice only between those two, and that's what I'm picking, we're not factoring in positional value and trades or whatever. I'm picking this guy because it's going to help my team. I want Mason Taylor on the Jets more than I want Tyler Warren in the first round.
I completely agree with you. I would rank Mason Taylor as my number two tight end. That idea. I do believe that the Colts getting either one of those guys is horrific for their fantasy value. I hate that landing spot for Loveland or Warren. The number one options are going to be JT based on the competency and talent of the quarterback. Option two probably will be A-Rich running. Option three will be Pittman. Option four is Downs. Does a tight end get in front of any of those guys? Maybe Downs? Maybe? I don't know. I don't love the landing spot. So I'm with you. Even with the round one draft capital, give me Mason Taylor, who still gets top 45 pick draft capital. Still the same idea that they're looking for a number two pass catcher after Garrett Wilson. It's not going to be Alan Lazard. And a tight end, a guy like Mason Rudolph, who can do a lot of what just the fundamentals of what a tight end needs to do to be successful in the NFL, I think that could be really, really big for Fields and for Mason Taylor. So I'm with you. I'm going Taylor over Warren if these are the landing spots.
So shout out to DB. Hopefully DB still listen at this part, right? DB did warp hit rates chart for me last year over the summer and did a massive podcast on it where we released it. Obviously, we have Brock Bowers now to add to this. This was only looking at tight ends from 2007 to 2021, and it was warp thresholds, whether you could hit, you know, top six, top three, top 12, etc., right? And what you guys did, and it was broken down by draft round, like how important your draft round is. One of the least important draft rounds in this warp hit rate chart, specifically for tight ends, and this is why I had DB make the cutoff. Top six tight ends in the first three seasons from when they got drafted from 2007 to 2021. Tight ends to hit top six, which is a tight end difference maker in fantasy. Generally, mm-hmm. I say all tight ends don't matter, but you definitely go look at a warp graph and you start to get past five or six, everybody kind of becomes the same bullshit, right? Doesn't really matter. Round one tight ends versus round two tight ends, Matty. Do you want to take a guess at what the hit rate is on guys drafted in the first round and second round? What was the round one hit rate? What was the round two hit rate for guys to hit top six at their position in warp at tight end in their first 3 years after being drafted?
I don't know the percentages. I don't know if I could nail down the percentages, but I do believe that round two is higher.
Oh, pretty close. You're not too far off, Matty. So the actual percentage, round one, 7%. By far and away the worst position. Yeah, I would
have been
position.
Way off. My percentages would have been way off, okay.
By far and away the worst position. For reference, top 12 hit rates for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, which are good for that position. That's why those are scheduled at top 12, and tight ends are top six, right? Mm-hmm. Warp graphs will say a number one quarterback, running back, wide receiver. That's a big fucking deal. 43% for round one quarterbacks, 52% for round one running backs. So good on you if you do get a Travion Henderson now and he does get first round draft capital. The odds are pretty fucking good he's going to be a top 12 running back in the first 3 years of his career. 26% for wide receivers, so you really see the tail off, and we can all point to all the misses in round one at wide receiver over the years who never did fuck all. Tight end down at 7%. Crazy. Now, if you go to round two, Matty, 4%. So it is a fall off, and you could say half. But at the end of the day, really, what's the difference between 7% and 4%? Not that much. And where you're partially right is you look at round three tight ends, Matty. Round three tight ends have the highest hit rate of top six seasons amongst this whole data set at 8%. 8%. Wow. So in reality, you're more likely to find a round three tight end in the first three seasons to have a tight end difference-making season than you are to take a guy in round one. Now, obviously, we have Brock Bowers to add to this. We have Sammy Ballgame to add to this data set. So we will see what the numbers do as soon as DB gets me the updated one for this year. But, Matty, it's not a lot. And in total, if you want total numbers of actual players, six first-round tight ends dating back to 2007 have hit that threshold. We have had, I fucked that up so bad. One tight end dating back to 2007 hit that threshold, which would have been Kyle Pitts and Kyle Pitts alone. One second round tight end hit that threshold, and three third round tight ends hit that threshold. Not great odds. Not great odds. So when I say it's people would be pissed. people got Tyler Warren as like a top four rookie pick. And they're like, right. You got first round draft capital, pick 14. How the fuck are you going to take a second round guy over him? I'm telling you, the odds say that it's the same shit. It's the same picture. And then I fall back to what I watched on tape. And I'd honestly tell you that I thought Mason Taylor was a better tight end on tape than Tyler Warren.
But Mike, Tyler Warren took snaps.
Cool.
But Mike, Tyler Warren had a cool catch against USC when a center threw the ball.
Listen, I'll completely change my stance when whatever NFL team drafts him uses him exclusively in the Jalen Hurts tush-push role, and he gets fucking 15 rushing touchdowns every single year. Like, you're drafting first-round Taysom Hill at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Drafting. If you give me the Taysom Hill role, I'm in. That's wild. And then
it's the Jets, mistaken, and they won't do that.
If I'm not mistaken, those numbers are only getting one more each, right? LaPorta was second round, and Bowers obviously first. That's just it, right? That's only ones you can add.
Yep, add one more to each side, right? Each one. So you don't really gain anything from anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Not great. And listen, actually round one gets shittier, right? Because Dalton Kincaid has never even sniffed top six, and he was a first round pick.
Right. Yep.
So, wah, wah, wah. Sad trombone.
Factually correct.
Sucks for him. Sucks for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shout out again to Dynasty Barry for putting that together. It was a great way. Listen, a lot of things that I end up doing here at South Harmon, and this is transparency and pulling the curtain back. Sometimes I will literally just be sitting around taking a shit, thinking about Dynasty, thinking about Warp, thinking about rookie drafts, whatever it is. And I got this idea in my head, and I have this bias already built in. Right? Like, this is what I feel, and this is why I draft this way, because I already have this bias in. All right, DB's the numbers guy. Let me get with DB. DB, run these numbers for me, and I'm fully prepared to be wrong. And DB has run numbers for me and put out a spreadsheet where I go, fuck, man, I was way off on this, or this don't mean shit. Coop has done the same thing to me. But nothing's a better feeling when I have this bias built in my head, and then I get to see numbers. You know, I get to see greens and reds and percentages that make sense to my dumb ass, like really dumbed down and stupid for me. Ooh, red bad, green good.
How about you?
And when it tells the exact same story that I had in my head, biggest win ever. Biggest win ever.
I love it. Shout out to DB. Shout out to Coop. The smart guys that make us look good.
Yes. Yes. I'm just the pretty face that goes behind the camera that actually should just stick to radio.
I am Ron Burgundy.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. San Diego may be a nice city. I've never been there. I'm sure the weather's great. They got like SeaWorld and shit, don't they? You'd be fine.
They have something like that, yeah. But I don't know. I think that might have got shut down for abuse of animals or some shit.
I know, Maddie, you made a lot of notes. You got any other bold predictions that you want to get out there before we bounce off this show? I told you it was going to be fast, and we're already coming up on an hour because I won't shut the fuck up.
So I just want to ask you a question, and then I want to give my boldest take, the thing that's probably going to shock people the most. So let me ask you this question. So since, okay, dating all the way back to 2007, at least one rookie receiver has finished inside the top 24.
Ooh.
Does that streak get broken this year?
No. Travis Hunter will finish in the top 24.
Exclude Travis Hunter.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
You have to, because I was talking to T Rock today, and I was talking about the receivers. He's like, "What do you think of the class?" I'm like, "I hate the class." He's like, "But what about Hunter?" I'm like, "Yeah, but shit. Okay, I guess I have to stop thinking of the class generally, because I always think of it sans Hunter. So if Hunter plays exclusively corner, do we see a receiver crack the top 24 in fantasy this year? A streak that hasn't been broken since 2007.
As much as I dunk on Tet, like, and I'm just trying to cool the Jets, I don't know how much more clear I can make this. I don't think Tet is terrible, right? I don't. My biggest points were, if Tet was in the 2024 rookie class, he might be wide receiver 6 or 7. At best, like, it'd be tough for me to slot him in like that. That's my biggest, like, he was in the Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy range. Both of them ended up having Brian Thomas had a phenomenal season. Xavier Worthy came on very late in the year, outside of week one where I did premature victory laps and looked like an asshole. That's the range I'm talking about. I just don't think he was a clear-cut dude. He should be in consideration at the 101, 102, 103. Like, that was my biggest thing. I think he's more of a mid-first to back-end first type wide receiver talent. I will say this. He ends up on a team like Dallas, and they go back to a couple years ago, like they throw the football. It is CeeDee Lamb and then who the fuck else? And if Dak is going to go over 42, 43, 4,400 yards passing and 30-plus touchdowns, Ted McMillan's going to eat. And he's not going to have to eat against number one corners. He's going to be able to be moved around. He's going to be able to be schemed up. He's going to be able to be that kind of jump ball possession guy that he's more suited for. My biggest problem with Tet, especially just on his talent level, and I think Steve Smith touched on a lot of this shit, if it's a team that is wide receiver one needy so fucking bad, like your Patriots taking him at 104 would be a fucking disaster. Like, to put that amount of pressure on him right out the gate is dooming him for failure. You don't give him any time to learn from a vet, to learn a little bit of the nuance. Like, the areas of his game that really lack separation skills, route nuance, pacing, being more than just a jump ball guy, to me, needs somebody as an alpha, like an established alpha or an Adam Thielen type, right? Like, you're going to be the alpha, but we got this really productive vet who's been doing it for fucking ever. He's going to give you some really great tips, right? He needs another threat on the other side of him. I think if he can land at, oh man, I'm looking it up now. Like, I listed off all those wide receiver needy teams. Like, the places I think he could thrive if he ended up going, right? He could thrive with the Jets because of Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He could thrive there. He could thrive with the Saints if Olave's healthy and doesn't have the king. Yes. And they have a quarterback. It's not Spencer Rattler. He could really thrive with the Dallas Cowboys. That would be interesting. He could thrive with the Broncos if he were to fall to 20 and Cortland Sutton stays there on the team, right? Like, that's a perfect compliment to him. He could thrive with the Colts. He could thrive as the number two to Drake London and the Falcons. If the Cardinals really wanted to get fucking bully, pair him with Marvin Harrison, he could thrive there as well. Places that I'm like, oh shit, I don't think this is going to happen. Panthers would be a death sentence to him.
Yeah,
I think the Raiders, even though they got Brock Bowers, and that we look at how great Brock Bowers, you need that outside threat. Brock Bowers is that interior threat.
And it was forced to be outside almost every play.
Yeah. He would be doomed on the Patriots. He would do okay with the Giants. I don't know how he'd do with the Browns. Like, say there was a trade-up scenario for them later on. You know, I don't think it's happening at two, but say they fell in love with him, whatever it is. I think he'd be okay with the Browns with Jerry Jeudy on the other side, but it's not the greatest, like, pairing. He needs an alpha. He needs an alpha. Titans would be a fucking, oh, man. I wouldn't. It depends on whether Calvin really gets his shit together. Or not. Yeah. Like, will the real Calvin really stand up? That's all I'm saying with Tet. So to answer your overall arching question, Maddie, I can see a scenario where the streak does not get broken and we get a Tet McMillan inside the top 24. I just don't think it's going to be as all sunshine and rainbows as everybody wants. Like, they look at this guy like he's bulletproof and he's the next, you know, rookie Mike wide Evans. Receiver. Not even like Mike Evans, but rookie wide receiver. Like, we've gotten so spoiled by the Malik Nabers. We've gotten so spoiled by Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, like the Ladd McConkneys and the Brian Thomases, like these guys coming on and being super, super fantasy relevant in year one as rookies. Mm-hmm. We've gotten so spoiled by that. We think, oh, look at his production profile. Look at his size. Look at how he runs on tape, like this kind of thing. We just automatically assume he's going to be the next one. And instead, it's in reality, what I think it's going to be is a more slow burn process. Like, it's going to be a developmental thing. It's going to be more in the line of what we want out of Drake London, right? And you see how long it's taken for Drake London to get there. You know, we blame the quarterback or we blame this, right? But it's taken years for Drake London to, like, really solidify himself as that guy. I think you're more in line for, like, a rookie season like JSN had, right? Where you're like, But if he gets to... If he gets to the right spot, you can see a top 24 season. It just won't be all everybody losing their mind, like oh, you should have been the 101. Like, how dare somebody take a running back or Cam Ward before him? You guys are all idiots. Look how great he is. Like, he's a first-round startup pick kind of guy. I don't think it's going to be that. I think if it's top 24, it's like borderline top 24, Maddie, and it's more like, oh, look what Jordan Addison did. You know, he just had a lot of touchdowns, and we kind of we analytic it away, right? Okay, he's top 24, but that's also kind of where he is in Dynasty. We just don't really give a shit.
You brought up a really, really strong point, how spoiled we've been of rookie wide receivers, and I think that's such a good point. I'm going to read off how spoiled we've been since 2020. In 2020, Jefferson and Lamb, top 24. In 21, we had Chase, Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Then we had Olave and Wilson. Then we had Puka, Addison, and Tank Dell. And then last year, Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr., and Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, we have been spoiled with rookie wide receivers. Now, that was fun. So I'm going to ask you one more before I get to my bold take, because that was a lot of fun. You can answer yes, no. You can dive into it however you want to take this. So we keep talking about how this class, the 2025 rookie running back class, is on par, or at least seen in the same light as the 2017 class. Well, that class, Mike, had six running backs finish as top three running backs in fantasy. CMC, Fournette, Dalvin, Mixon, Kamara, and Hunt were all top 36 running backs. Do we see that in 2025, yes or no?
So when you talk about finish as top three, that's over the course of their careers at different points, right?
No, this is in the rookie season. They were all top 36 receive running backs that year.
All top 36. I thought you said top three. No, and I was like, how the fuck is that math?
RB3s. I should have said they're all running back threes.
I get you. I was like, holy shit, man. Yes,
at least.
Like, I know I'm dumb.
But it also is believable. All of those guys may have finished at one point as running back three.
Yeah, there's a good possibility. Six guys in the top 36. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say this is the great running back reset that we thought 2023 was going to be. Obviously not. It's the great running back reset that we thought 2020 was going to be, which it wasn't. Like, we were on track for that to be the great running back reset with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round and Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins. Like, the list went on and on. We thought that was going to be the great one, and then injuries popped up and Clyde Edwards-Helaire sucked. It just didn't happen. It's something that I think the dynasty market, you know, kind of like a wildfire, has been craving. You need that wildfire to burn away all the dead stuff. Yeah, and then the new trees. We had to go through 2020 and 2023 as the great hopes that didn't actually happen to get to 2025 to be that class to go like, yep. So yeah, Maddie, I'm going to go it. And listen, I'll give you a bonus. Genty, Amarion Hampton, locks. Done deal. Yep. Caleb Johnson will finish in there. Quinshon Judkins will finish in there. Travion Henderson, as much as I'm kind of not like super high on him, top 36 isn't a fucking high bar for him with his skill set. And then my sixth guy, Maddie, I'm going to go with
one of.
Yeah, one of all Damian Martinez, Ollie Gordon, Rocket Sanders, Bashaud Tutten, Cam Scadabo. It's like
DJ Giddens, Devin Neal.
Fuck yeah, we're going. Yep.
Keep going.
I'm rubber stamping, lock this one in. Lock of the show, Maddie. Six running backs of this class will finish in the top 36 this upcoming year.
Fucking go. And I'm going to finish with this, my bold prediction. And this is why if you have your rookie draft now, even if it's during the NFL draft, get Savion Williams. Like, I can't get away from this. When the draft ends, Savion Williams will have not on par, but within a dozen picks. We're talking ballpark range as these other wide receivers, Jalen Knoll, Elik Aomanor, and Jack Besh. Savion is going to be amongst that group in terms of draft capital. And even though the profile is as volatile as a roller coaster, it's as up and down as it gets, the Tower of Terror of fantasy assets, the draft capital is going to speak for it. And I think Savion's going to get a way better draft capital than expected.
Maddie, I got to leave you with one thing. I got a rookie draft going on. I just made a pick not too long ago. Tell me how much you love this.
Okay.
With pick 410 of a rookie draft. Pick 410 of a rookie draft. I took Kyle Williams.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yeah. Kyle Williams, and we're seeing that the drum beat is getting louder and louder on Williams.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Dude, I had no first round or second round picks in this league. This is the OG shit best ball league, the original, right? The juggernaut squad Adams got. Whatever reason last year, Maddie, I saw Adam had a juggernaut squad. Eric came in the league. He goes, who wants to do a dispersal? And I said, throw my mother. I was the number two team in the league. I lost to Adam back-to-back years in the fucking championship. I had run my course. I said, Eric, throw this motherfucker back into the dispersal. Like, we're just going to start over. I had no picks, nothing, right? I drafted a team just for value. I tried to take as many third rounders and fourth rounders, whatever the fuck was in the shitty dispersal that we had, just trying to listen. And I still ended up finishing at the one fucking 10. like I threw this team back in the dispersal, still finished at the 110. So I had no first or second round picks. I had 2/3, a fourth, and I got a couple fifths in this class. Maddie, so far I've taken Ollie Gordon, Mason Taylor, and Kyle Williams with my thirds and fourths.
I feel like if you're going to take shots, those are the people to take shots on. I think those could be some value bumps in just 5 days.
Could be. I might take Tyler Shuck at the 504. Why not? Just kidding. I don't want to ruin my life.
No, dude. Why not? He gets top 50 draft capital. Do something crazy.
Well, Mr. Wonderful doesn't know that. Yeah, I'm up at the 504 in one pick. And if he does not select a throwaway player and put it in the chat that is the placeholder of Luke Lachey, you know where I'm going.
You know, I've seen a lot of random names being like, who the, oh, that's okay, that's Lachey. Every time I know it's Lachey. Every time.
I've come pretty consistent. I always take Colin Granger, the basketball player who's never played football, who just signed with the Panthers here not too long ago. That's my placeholder guy, right? Colin Granger, just know if I select him, it's because I want Luke Lachey. That's going to do it. All right, Maddie, what's the song for tonight? Get out of here. And listen, everybody, make sure you're tapped in for the draft stream. I said it last week. We're doing a dope giveaway, care of our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs, really dope partner, signed shit, signed sh.it. Go check them out. They donated a full-size authentic helmet signed by a real-life NFL player. And I can tell you, it is a Hall of Famer. It is a Hall of Famer. So make sure that you're tapped into the draft stream. Night one, that's where we will get all the entries in. Day two, tap in. You must be present in the chat on day two if your name is picked to claim it. If not, I'm moving on to the next one. We keep the fucking thing moving here. We're on to Cincinnati, but dope, 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 dope fucking giveaway. Plus everything else that we're giving away, the draft stream is going to be lit. Maddie, what you got for the music tonight as we get out of here?
So earlier today, I had to look it up. Is there any music that is like synonymous with draft day? There's not. There's not even really a soundtrack of draft day. So I pivoted and just went with a football song, Boys of Fall by Kenny Chesney. Let's get a little football in our veins.
Boys of Fall by Kenny Chesney. Look at the thoughtful whites are back at it. Listen, we love y'all. We thank you for tapping in. Longer than I thought, but that's how Maddie and I roll. I tell him 30 minutes, and it ends up an hour and 15 every goddamn time. But we love y'all. Hopefully, we'll see everybody here Thursday night, Friday night. And if you ain't doing nothing Saturday, come check us out, because we'll be fucking streaming then, too. The whole draft. And when we say the whole draft, we'll be there the whole time. A lot of piss breaks. A lot of piss breaks, sore asses. I'll be sweating from all these fucking key lights and the neon sign in the background. But, you know, it's for the people. You know, got to do it for y'all. We love y'all. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week. Probably with no voice. We're out of this thing. Peace.
When I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass, I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the Boys of Fall. They didn't let just anybody in that club. Took every ounce of heart and sweat and blood get to wear those game day jerseys down the hall. kings of the school, man, where the boys are fall. Well, it's turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air all around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are fall. In little towns like mine, that's all they got. Newspaper clippings fill the coffee shops. The old men will always think they know it all. Young girls will dream about the boys of fall. Well, it's turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air all around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a soul. Fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air all around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. It's knocking heads and talking trash. It's slinging mud and dirt and grass. It's I got your number, I got your back. When your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song.